Great. Okay. It's been a little while since I've been up here and feeling the butterflies, so I guess I'm just going to have to picture you all naked. Okay. On that note, imagination. Exactly. Okay. Are we hooked up? Yes, we are. Now, I intend to coordinate the slides with Mr. David back there. And so when I keep on giving him the thumbs up, it's not just, he doesn't need constant approval. It's just make the slides work, okay? I just have to get rid of some stuff. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, that's Stan. Thank you. So I was going to ask you the title of my talk, but it's kind of a giveaway there. The Pilgrim's Journey. The definition of a pilgrim, as defined by Mr. Webster, is a person who journeys a long distance to some sacred place as an act of religious devotion, a traveler or wanderer. I would like you to all consider, or since this month is imagination, imagine for a moment that you chose to come from whatever non-physical space you were in before this lifetime to inhabit your current human form. You came to the sacred place of planet Earth, which is filled with all types of contrast. There's pain and joy, love and fear. But you did so in order to more fully express and evolve as spiritual beings. It is thus an act of devotion or a calling from your higher self which brought you to the human journey, demonstrating that you too are all pilgrims. Can you join me in that knowing for now? Great. Oh, not time to change the slide. Whew, I didn't plan on that one. First of all, for those of you who may not know, over the summer I traveled to see my son who lived halfway around the world in the country of Kyrgyzstan. It's right below Russia, kind of next to China, but it's a long way away. And I traveled, made two stops on the way there and a couple stops on the way back. And I gotta admit, I was definitely in this pilgrim mindset, but when I saw the huge path, I thought, I'm already where I need to be. Why bother leaving? I wasn't gone, you know, like the movie, 80 days, but it was 40 days and 40 nights from Chico. So I'm thinking if I add those up, kind of, it comes to that 80 number. Kathy would not approve of my math. So once again, when I started my journey, it was June 27th. When I landed in Chico, it was August 4th. And I thought, you know, it's a lot cheaper and easier, as I will allude to. Traveling around the world is far less glamorous than it sounds. You are all on a lifetime journey. Not just to get it done and check things off your list, but to experience the textures of being in this time, space, reality. Whether you step out of Chico or not, every day you are walking your own unique path. Well, being that I had a lot of experience on my trip, I, of course, had to write down a few tips, which I'd like to share with you today. The first thing a pilgrim needs to do is figure out what to take along on the journey. Are you going to take everything you own, or nothing at all, or somewhere in between? Remember, most baggage allotments are 50 pounds about, so that's one small child, or a third of an adult, which I don't recommend, or just other stuff. What would you bring on a material level to take with you if you were on a pilgrimage? Just call out a couple things. I'm curious. Underwear. Of course. Sometimes it's those basic things. Toothpaste, toothbrush. Good. We're being practical. And hair dryer. Okay. Nobody mentioned soft toilet paper. Not that it comes in handy in Kyrgyzstan. Just saying. Maybe you packed. Oh, wait. Oh, here we are. So hauling around baggage is not necessarily a positive thing. It can really hold you back, especially if you pack momentums, big framed pictures, and old clothes that no longer fit. You wouldn't have room for what you needed on the present journey. You might also compare your journey to those of the past and say, oh, I was so much younger back then. It was so much easier to move around. Sometimes the pictures we pack represent unhealed hurts or anger, regret, stuff that we would just as soon let go of. The old clothes could be negative or outgrown beliefs that we've worn all our lives, and they're just so comfortable. We know what to expect when we put those on. Anyone have beliefs like that? You learned them in childhood, and now they're your go-to reactions, easy to fall back on. Maybe you believe that you didn't deserve love or abundance. Maybe you still feel guilty about things that happened decades ago, and you have all the stories to justify it. Maybe you packed binoculars so you could spy on all the people around you and compare your journeys to see who has the best journey. What beliefs do you keep lugging around that no longer represent who you are today? Just like an overstuffed suitcase would wear me down, bringing all the emotional issues can energetically weigh a pilgrim down. So lighten up by letting go. You don't need to always figure out why it's there or who's to blame for it appearing in your suitcase. Habitual thought patterns often don't make sense. According to research, 98% of our thoughts are the same ones we had yesterday, and 80% of them are negative. Talk to Dr. Johnny about this. It has to do with that little friend, the amygdala in our brain, that's always looking to keep us alive and keep us surviving. So it looks for the negative so that it could then protect itself. So it's a natural thing. However, we don't need to believe all those thoughts. It might be challenging at first, but we can retrain the brain by doing some things like meditating, then visualizing or imagining what we want to experience in our life. The meditation helps clear the mind in order to manifest your heart's desire. If you do this on a more regular basis, it becomes easier and easier. At first, it might feel a little weird, but it's a habit once again. The second thing to be aware of on the pilgrim's journey is you don't have to have the entire trip figured out. Just know how to take the next right step. Sometimes we get a little into control and think that we need to know exactly where things are going, how it's going to play out, when we're going to be there, and who we're going to be with. That's the job of the universe. Spirit can see the path ahead far greater than we ever can. It likes to surprise and delight us. And also, if we knew all the details of our journey, we might react negatively and be afraid to even take that first step into it. Each step on our path prepares us for the next one to follow. Now think about this. We don't make mistakes. Mistakes make us. Hear the difference? Ever have a seemingly negative event turn out to be something you benefited greatly from? I know I have. Some of my best experiences began as speed bumps or detours along the main road. Ultimately, they were shortcuts to my greater good. I've met people that I would not have known had I stuck with that main path. Getting lost can also lead to serendipitous moments that makes the journey so much sweeter. The third step on the journey is that sometimes you're going to need to change your form of transportation. You've already done this. That's how you're in your current body, by the way. Don't be overly attached to how you get from one place to the next. Just know that you will eventually get where you need to be. Do you ever complain about how how slow your path is, and you repeat that saying, are we there yet? It just seems like it's taking forever. You could be on a horse of old habits that just wants to stop and eat and stare at a locked gate. I had a rather stubborn horse in Kyrgyzstan. I'm not sure why I attracted him in my life, because I know I'm never stubborn. But it's like if we yell out to the universe or to the horse, what's wrong with the current conditions and the situation, you're not giving it direction and focus on where you want to go. Maybe you just need to communicate a little more clearly. And there's nothing wrong with your transportation. I kept saying to my horse, giddy up, giddy up. Well, hello, I had a Russian-speaking horse. Finally, I asked my guide, who looked like he wanted to kill me half the time. He was very serious. And I said, how do you say giddy up? And he looked at me rather confused, and he said, giddy up. After you've cleared the communication issues, maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone and be open to the new and unexpected. When my son and I set off one day on a hike, we didn't realize how far it was to get from one little waterfall to another waterfall. And after 7 miles of weaving through a village, of course we had fun. It was beautiful, but we were getting tired. Our feet were getting sore. We had been walking to close to 7 miles, and I'm pretty sure we were lost, but I didn't want to admit that to him. Well, we decided to hitch a ride on whatever vehicle came along next. Angels often come in giant old Soviet dump trucks with no spoken English. A weary traveler rarely turns down a free ride, despite the challenges of climbing up on it. Maybe your journey has been primarily just on a conveyor belt. You see the same sights, and you know what to expect. It might be time to hitch a ride on something completely different and trust angels in disguise. The fourth step is to be mindful of your surroundings. We do a lot with mindfulness classes here, and just to bring that awareness into your present state and know that as you activate your senses to breathe the air, see the sights, taste the taste, yes, that's right, and smell the smells, as unpleasant or wonderful as they can be. The stuff on the left is this dried cow's milk that's a really good dish if you're Kyrgyzstani, but not so much as an American. Also, getting out in nature and allowing nature to just take over your world. That's such a great place to connect with spirit. Notice things that you've never noticed before, or perhaps see them in a slightly different angle or a slightly different way. Shortly after I arrived in Sweden, my dear friend and host Sadie and I took a boat ride out to one of the distant islands that make up Stockholm. And while we were there, she walked into this little shop right away. And I kind of wandered around, and all of a sudden, I came upon this chair. I was so excited. Look at this. The Swedes had a spiritual chair in English, of all things. And so I was thinking, oh my God, God is everything. Whoever sits down in this chair gets to be like what represents God. So I had to take a picture of me sitting in the chair. I was just so excited. And I felt like they had put that there just for me. Well, when Sadie came out a short time later, and I excitedly showed her my God chair, she kind of smiled a curious smile. And she said, Lisa, in Swedish, goddess means candy and snacks. So, while we know that God is everything, in certain places it's particular to junk food. Being mindful is also noticing the unexpected beauty when you look at things a little differently. Take a look up instead of always looking down. Do you ever go through your days just focusing on what's wrong? Maybe you're looking at all the problems that you have and you're listening to people complain about their 80% of recycled thoughts that go round and round. Recognize that the clouds in life are often there to add a beautiful contrast and make you appreciate things so much more. And then not there just to block out the sun. Without a little darkness, it might be difficult to truly value the light. Appreciate the whole package. The fifth point, know that even if you don't speak the same language on your journey, you can find some ways to communicate, as most people are very kind and helpful. Even though some people might look like Genghis Khan, they are really helpful. And I found that children just love to interact, even though they only knew how to say hello. So we used to have a little hello contest where we would see who could outlast the other saying hello last. Sometimes words get in the way. When a simple smile is all you need. This lady is known as a babushka, and she wears the Russian scarf. She was so sweet. We shared a car for 4 hours together, and we just smiled a lot. I struggled to remember the Russian word for thank you, which is, you know, it's really important to know how to say thank you. In fact, I'm going to teach you all it today so you can know a little Russian. I want you to say spasibo. Very good. Spasibo. Well, not that you'll be tested later, but it is hard. I kept on saying placebo. Placebo means the same thing in Russian as it does in English. So I just kept on hoping that by saying placebo very sweetly, people would get the same intent, like a sugar pill, with my intentions. Communicating with the heart is the main thing that matters most in interactions. People don't always get what you say, but they understand how you say it. If our only prayer is placebo, that is enough. The sixth tip for the pilgrim's journey is to check your judgments at the security gate. It's so easy to criticize and condemn others for how they are walking on their path. It can be a favorite pastime for many, especially if you become extremely tired on your journey. Now, I'm not proud of this, but it needs to be spoken. Not Catholic, but it's minister confession time. After an all-night flight to Istanbul with no sleep, and then having to wait in an incredibly long, long line just to get through immigration and passport control, I was exhausted. I just wanted to cry like I saw all those children freely doing. You ever want to just have a temper tantrum in public? I did. Well, I knew that it would be socially inappropriate or just plain awkward. So then I sat back and I began to notice how some of the children were behaving much better than other children. I started to subtly judge their parents for their skills or their lack thereof. I then judged the people that appeared to be cutting in line. I wondered why they thought they were so much better than everybody else. I looked at people's clothes and I judged them to see if they were dressed too nicely or not nice enough. I began to ponder whether there were any terrorists in my line. I wondered if Jesus were alive today, if he would have been racially profiled and stopped at customs. Well, then I just finally had to shake myself awake because I felt like I was just going down that dark path and check and think of how often people might have judged me or misinterpreted my intentions or actions. How was I similar to an impatient person? And had I ever cut in line before in my entire life? Was I ever guilty of harboring ill will or terror-filled thoughts? How did I contribute with my beliefs and actions to the challenges of the world? Raymond Charles Barker years ago wrote a book called How to Change Other People. Anybody want to buy that one? Oh, stop. many are disappointed when they buy it because it's all about how to change your perspective and your viewpoint of other people. Some people might be walking a slower path because they've come such a great distance. They are more tired and less quickly to respond to your honking horn. Some pilgrims might appear to be on the wrong path completely. And yet, do we assume that we know what path is the best one for them to take? We have no idea what traumas or challenges have led them to wear the clothes they are wearing or react in the manners that they do. I truly believe that if people could do better, they would do better. We can always ask ourselves, what would goodness do? Do we step in and help where help is needed? Do we contribute to problems with our passivity? Or do we make matters worse by bullying others that are different from us and also appear to be blocking our path? Think about it. I want to share with you a little reading from the book Ordinary Goodness by Edward Villune. He's the senior minister at the Santa Rosa Church. And he was a white man. He still is. But he was in South Africa during apartheid growing up. And he witnessed something that was very disturbing. A black man had accidentally gotten on the wrong train. And the train took off. Well, the policemen came. They didn't care why he was on the wrong train. But they beat him. And Edward had to sit there and watch it as he knew that he would be the next target if he tried to intervene. And so reflecting on that moment and others, he says, ever since considering the questions, what is right and what is wrong, and what would goodness do, it seems that I cannot escape urges not to pay attention to people, to intuition, to the minority opinion, and to marginalized voices. The more I follow its calls, the more I see in others and the world performing acts of kindness, choosing the highest road, and putting others before self. Goodness has started to become fascinating because I am interrupting habits that prevent me from following its guidance, and I'm mindfully searching out evidence of its presence in the world. So mindfully searching out things, we get what we're looking for. So start to see this goodness and kindness where you look. The seventh point is preceded by a little story about a monk who lived in a village a long, long time ago, far, far away on a mountain. One day he heard a knock at the door, a very loud, intense knock, and so he opened the door and a young woman stood before him. She had a small baby in her arms, and she thrust the baby into the monk's, and she told him that she had gotten pregnant out of wedlock, and she couldn't let anybody know about this, and before he could speak, she quickly ran down the mountain. So now, the monk holding the baby looked down and smiled sweetly and said, ah, so this is my challenge. He then did what he had been charged to do, and was an excellent father and mentor to the little girl. 7 years later, the baby had transformed into a beautiful, healthy, confident little girl. But finally, one day, there was a knock at the door. The mother of the girl, now with a father and happily married, said, I made the biggest mistake of my life, and before the monk could speak, she grabbed the little girl and ran down the hill. The monk looked sadly on and said, ah, so this is my challenge. So the seventh point is, sometimes we must accept whatever challenges appear on our path. without necessarily labeling them as good or bad, but surrendering to the experience at hand. What's in this challenge for me? What is the universe longing to know through this? I thought of this story shortly after I arrived in Malaysia, and I was so excited taking in this new country, but I felt a little sick the first night. The next day, when I had to get on a four-hour-long air-conditioned train, I became even more sick. When I finally arrived in Penang, instead of devouring the spicy and hot Indian foods with the green and red curries, I just wanted to lay on a soft bed and have hot broth. Ah, so this was my challenge. By having to slow down and just stay put, I struggled to find meaning. I felt it to be so unfair that I had come all this distance, and now my body was not supporting me. I realized that I needed to truly step back from my role as a human doing and embrace that of a human being. Life can cause us to slow down when sometimes we just want to go full speed ahead. What challenges have slowed you down on your path? Being that I was near the ocean, I found that by stopping more, I could clearly hear the waves. The waves going in, the waves flowing out. So I began to incorporate it into my spiritual practices. And I laid on the beach, breathing in, breathing out. I let go of my need to see everything on my list, and I allowed things to come to me. Slowing down, letting life present itself, surrendering to what was. Finally, the last point for the pilgrim is gratitude for the journey itself. Life can expose us to so many wonderful, unique experiences that we would never get if we just remained in one place. And I'm talking about emotionally and consciously now, too. The potpourri of cultures that I experienced through my travels opened my heart to the people of the world. While we all represent a beautiful mosaic, our differences are special and worth remembering. When visiting mosques, I would cover my head. When entering certain homes, I would take off my shoes. When eating certain foods, I would smile and try and swallow without grimacing. The national drink of Kyrgyzstan is a nasty-tasting concoction made of fermented horse milk. So sadly, I was not always successful in my attempts to appear appreciative. In the end, though, I became so much more grateful for the little things. I love the rich differences that magnified and colored each country. I love the fact that parents truly just want the best for their parents and want to raise happy, healthy human beings. I loved how kindness for kindness' sake is often revealed from the most unfamiliar sources. The contrast from the journey also lends to gratitude when returning home. I'm grateful for all the wonderful people here in Chico and for my loved ones as well. I'm grateful for soft beds and clean tap water and the porcelain toilet bowl that's, like, never missed. I am thankful that I could come back and live in a country that is built from so many diverse cultures. And it's based at our foundation on something that celebrates and protects the rights of all, even though they might not be a majority. I will do whatever is in my power to continue to allow this to happen. Take a look at your pilgrim's journey and recognize all that you have seen so far. What are you grateful for? Have you taken things for granted that you would miss if they suddenly disappeared? What about the people in your life? Do you enjoy sharing the path with them, or are you always trying to change them? Are you being mindful and breathing consciously? Are you okay with getting a little lost and not having it all figured out? Are you accepting what is, knowing that eventually you're going to get where you need to be? The joy is in the journey, so don't be afraid to take that first step. I had so many fears before I left, and other than a few bad latrine experiences and getting sick, none of them manifested. We walk on holy land right here in our everyday lives. We have in some aspect come far to experience it, but in another sense, we've never left home. We are surrounded and guided always. When I felt fear on my trip, I knew that while it appeared I was walking alone, I had spirit not only right beside me, but in me and as me. Embrace your journey as a pilgrim. You can't get lost on your path, for you are always being led by source energy. And it sees the best route for your highest good. Now go and enjoy each step and celebrate all the experiences of this amazing life. Thank you and namaste.